Okay, praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles or on your phones or whatever other way you have to access the Scripture. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to be reading starting in verse 13. We're returning to our foundational text as we have each time of the previous 25 parts of this series. This is part 26 in the series, The Church That Jesus Is Building. And if you're listening by way of the internet and you don't have a way of viewing this, you are missing out on some of the coolest glasses that a 61-year-old has ever worn. 61-year-old male has ever worn. Thank you, Tanya, female, for loaning me your reading glasses. Okay. Matthew, Gospel, 16th chapter, beginning verse 13. We should all know this by memory by now anyway. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." As I said, this is part 26 of the church that Jesus is building. We have been talking for many, many, many times now, parts of this series, about understanding the three major aspects of the church, which are mission, message, and method. And we have been in the method part of this for quite some time. We're talking about the method that God has chosen to accomplish His mission, which is getting His message to the ends of the earth. The church built God's way, and according to His plan, is God's method. God has no other method but His church. No parachurch organization, nothing close, nothing similar, but His church built His way. The gospel of the kingdom is to be taken to the ends of the earth. Then, the Scripture says, the end will come. We must pursue His mission, preaching and living out His message according to His method until the job is done. The job is not done. I've said this several times, and as often as I have unction to say it, I'm going to continue to say it. The job is not done when our building is full. The job is not done when Jason has a good flow of income coming into his family and all of his needs are met, and we have some others on staff that are living well as a blessing of the kingdom. The job is not done when perhaps we have relationship built with one other church in one other part of the country or the world. The job is not done until all the earth, the ends of the earth, have had a chance to hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to His kingdom. We cannot have a short-term mindset. We cannot have a "we're okay" mindset. We cannot have a "well, we're important and we're special and we're the biggest ones around" mindset. Who cares if you're the biggest amoeba in the ocean or wherever they live? Who cares if we're so small and insignificant that we're not making an impact in the world and influencing the way this world is going for God and for His kingdom, and people aren't having a chance to live a victorious life in Jesus? Then the job is not done, and we cannot be satisfied. The church that Jesus is building is still under construction, and team effort is required at all levels. Next slide. I'm going to very briefly go back over part 25, Ministry of Pastors. Some of you weren't here when that was brought forth. I trust that everybody, if you do miss, you pick up on the church website and listen to the message there. But even if everybody here heard it, it's important that we review it because it is so, unfortunately, so different than what is being taught and modeled in a lot of places that we need to really have our minds renewed to the Word of God. Ephesians 4:11-12, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We've been talking for a while now that the ministry gifts given to us, to His church, by Jesus when He ascended, the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, were given to equip the church to do the work of the ministry. If reaching the ends of the earth is ever going to be done, and the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is ever going to be taken to the ends of the earth, and people are truly going to be set free from every tribe, kindred, tongue, nation, whatever, it's going to be because the body of Christ is doing the work of the ministry. And Jesus Himself said that that is not going to happen without the input of the fivefold ministry. We talked about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and teachers. And in part 25, we entered into the ministry of pastors. Next slide. We said that the dictionary definition of pastor, that which you will find in most English dictionaries, which is basically man's best attempt to define words as they are used in modern vernacular. And that is a minister in charge of a Christian congregation. This definition is what most people have been taught to believe. We all have been around church. Many of us who've been around church in our past have heard that definition or have had that definition modeled to us. However, next slide. The word pastor, as we see in Ephesians 4:11, which, by the way, is the only time that the Greek word is translated pastor, only one time in Scripture, is in that passage. But it actually means shepherd. We're talking about now the usage that God is using when He had the Scriptures penned. Not the common today dictionary definition, but God's definition. And it means, the Greek word poimen means a shepherd, one who feeds, leads, protects, and cares for His sheep. And as we said, it's used 18 times in the New Testament. 7 times is referring to Jesus as a shepherd. 6 times is referring to shepherd as a metaphorical descriptor of those who care for and take care of people. And then 4 times it was an actual shepherd, one who's watching actual sheep. And then one time and one time only, it's talked about in this passage of Scripture as pastors, translated pastor. Never in the other 17 times is it translated pastor, only one time in the King James Version. And that's the office in the church leadership. And I put down there, we talked about last week, that that's very interesting, that it's only translated once. How is it interesting? Well, the Greek word for shepherd is only translated once as pastors. There is no named pastor, apart from Jesus, in the New Testament. No one with this office that each in this city, if we looked up and there was a phone book that had every church listing, most all of those would have Pastor so-and-so. We would have the ability to know names of scores of pastors just in our area. But yet in the Bible, there's not one named pastor apart from Jesus. No epistle or letter addressed to the churches are addressed to a pastor. They do not reference a pastor. No church led by a pastor in the narrative presented in Acts. In Acts, the story that is told, there is no church that is talked about that is talked about as being led by a pastor. There is no biblical example of this model, which a single pastor is the sole spiritual leader of any of the many local church bodies listed in the Scriptures. You can look at the church in Ephesus, in Colossae, and on and on it goes, and there is no reference to pastor or a person named as the pastor. We had apostles that were named. We had prophets that were named. We had teachers that were named. We even had one evangelist that was named. But we yet, the most common gift of all that we see in today's church, where everyone has a pastor, when every church has a pastor, and the pastor is the lead focal point, everything flows through him, yet we have none of that shown in the Scripture. We talked about, next slide, the verb form of shepherd. That is what a pastor or shepherd does. It's translated several times as feed. Feed, feed, feed. Whether it's feeding sheep, actual sheep, or followers of Jesus, or feeding cattle, or feeding the human body. It's translated feed, 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 feed. Never pastor. It's translated four times as rule or govern, but never anything to do with pastoring. The verb form is never translated to pastor or pastoring. Next slide. Signs of gift. We said that we do believe in the office, the ministry office of pastor, and we take the word shepherd and everything to do with shepherding, as whether it's metaphorical or actual, and we develop these signs of gift. We said that a pastor, a true pastor, and those who have been taught to pastor and to shepherd and to lead, that these signs should be a part associated with that gift. Compassion for the weak and directionless people responds with action. Protective of his sheep, lays down his life for his sheep. Keeps the sheep together, goes after lost sheep. Once again, I am not saying in any way saying that there is no such thing as pastor. We see it in Ephesians 4:11. My only thing that I'm trying to teach here is we have to have the correct understanding of pastor, not an incorrect one. We're not trying to get rid of him like some people have tried to do with the apostles and prophets. We're not going to do that. We believe the pastor has been given as a gift of God. But what is his role? For those who are truly in that office and been given that gift and been given as a gift, these are the signs of the gift, and I'll continue. Watches for potential danger. Leads and feeds. Takes the sheep to safer places. Better food. Establishes and builds relationship with the sheep. Develops trust and sense of safety within the sheep. Rules with as much force as required. Remember, it's translated to rule as well as to care for. So, just like a natural shepherd with sheep, he has, what does the psalmist say? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. True sheep should be comforted by the fact that their leaders will not allow them to go stray and will bring as much force in explaining something and telling the truth as necessary so that a sheep is not lost. and given along with the apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors, and teachers, I should have put, as gifts to equip the body of Christ. It's an impartation of gift and growth of the body that comes from the ministry of a true pastor. Impartation slide, next one. We talked about this. We'll go to the pastor. Just like we said in all the other ones, these gifts are given not just to be that unto the body, but to help the body grow into what that gift is. So a pastor is not just given as a shepherd on behalf of the body. Even a true pastor, one who is in that office, he's not just there to pastor the sheep. He does that and shepherd the sheep and lead and guide and protect and so on and so forth, the sheep. But he's there as a gift of God to impart that gifting and that anointing to the body so that the whole body that's under his ministry grows up into him, Jesus, as the body where each has a deep love for all and with a commitment to love, honor, and care for and seek the best for each individual. We should have the motto, no sheep left behind. Just as the pastor, the true pastor, his heart is broken when a sheep is lost. When that is imparted to us, we have that same sort of feeling and understanding growing within us. We may not start out with that, but it should be growing within us if the ministry of a pastor is being imparted unto us. Next slide. Rather than the false and modern common understanding of a pastor, we see this as the correct church model of church government, biblical model of church government, where Jesus is the head of the church. Under him, you have the fivefold ministry working as a team to impart to the whole body, which includes the elders and bishops and the deacons and so on and so forth, so that the whole congregation can be grown and matured to reach the world. But the fivefold ministry is next. Then we see that the church, the local church, is actually led not by a pastor, a single pastor, but a team of elders or bishops. Those we'll get into today. You'll see that those are different terms for the same person, the same office. And then those lead and care for the congregation on a daily basis. I read this last week. I want to read it again. The biblical model of church government is very much different from what we see in operation in most Christian groups today. The abolishment of the apostle and prophet, the demotion of the teacher, the reduction of scope, and the failure to accept the supernatural power associated with the preaching of the gospel that has happened to the evangelist, and the extreme exaltation of the pastor is way beyond incorrect. It is so incorrect that God's people must have had help over the centuries to misunderstand the truth. Unfortunately, I do not believe that the help to misunderstand has come from above. No, brothers and sisters, we have been handed down something that works partially so that we would not seek after that which works fully. Good has always been the biggest enemy to the best. I fully embrace the office of pastor. Now, I said that last week, and I felt afterwards that I needed to clarify that. I'm not saying I fully embrace it as I am have the office of a pastor. I've told you before, God has told me directly that He's not put me in that office. When I share that with other people, when I say God told me that I have not been called as a pastor, immediately, in 90% of people's minds, they hear, you're not a leader. Because to them, pastor means the leader. So when God redirected me and began to show me things many years ago and told me I wasn't a pastor, it had the same effect on me. I said, well, what am I then? And then he began to share with me over many years the things which I'm sharing with you in this series. But when I wrote this, I fully embraced the office and role of pastor. I'm not saying I embrace it and embody it. I'm saying I embrace it. I embrace the concept. I embrace the truth. I embrace it just as much as I embrace the ministry gift of an apostle, the ministry gift of a prophet, evangelist, and teacher. I embrace them all as gifts from God. That's what I intended as I said that. But only as God ordained for it to be. Okay. I embrace the office and role of pastor, but only as God ordained it to be, as part of the fivefold ministry and part of the overall leadership team. Not as the fount of all anointing, leadership, and authority. Accepting a false concept of the office of a pastor is to not accept the real one. If you believe that Santa Claus came down the chimney and put the presents under the tree, you can believe that all you want to, but it rules out any other option. You understand what I'm saying? If he did it, nobody else could have done it. So to embrace a false reality means to not embrace the true reality. This is why it's very important that we get this right, is because if we are going to go to the ends of the earth, and if we're not going to be just satisfied with having a room full of people, no matter how alive, no matter how giving, no matter how loving, a room full of people is not the ends of the earth. We have to have an ends of the earth vision, and we have to have a means of getting there. And God's means is His church. And it can't be our version of His church. I think we've tried that long enough. It has to be His version of His church. Can anybody say amen? Thank you. A false concept of the office of pastor is to not accept the real one. This is demeaning to God, His method, and the men that should be a part of the team that He designed. The incomplete model of church government hinders far more than it helps. It prevents far more than it provides. It starves far more than it strengthens. It limits far more than it liberates. So if the biblical model of church government does not have a pastor as the leader of the local church, then what is the biblical model and how is it supposed to operate? Next slide, please. This is when we come to the correct model of local church leadership, which is in the under the responsibility of the elders or bishops. Now, this may be very boring for you. I hope it's not, but if it is, just bear with me. There's a reason that we're going into this detail. For every false thing that is out there, we have to say why it is false. We have to use something other than our own imagination to come up with the reason why we're doing what we're doing or believe what we believe and going the direction we're going. And that has to be the Word of God. If we're just left to our own devices, then we're going to end up with all kinds of variations and flavors of things, which we already have. But it's just going to get worse. We're just going to have our own other variation. I'm breaking this down to you and showing you from the Word of God why elders and bishop are the same things. You've seen a lot of churches that elders are demoted. They are put underneath that one lead role as a pastor, and they end up being the pastor's helpers. They end up being the ones who do all the things that the pastor can't do, can't get to. they used to, when I was a little kid, my mom, when there was one Santa Claus in a department store, and then we go to another department store, and there was another Santa, and he looked different. The way she described that to me was, well, none of those are the true Santa. The true Santa is still up north. But those are Santa's helpers. They're helping him get ready for Christmas. There is only one true Santa, but those are Santa's helpers. Well, there's only one true pastor in a lot of people's minds. And if they have elders in the church, those are the pastor's helpers. But so the role of elder has been made lower. And then in a lot of places who have bishops, and most places don't, but in places that do, the role of bishop has been elevated to above a pastor. He is a regional responsibility. He's over several pastors. And both things are incorrect. Okay, so definition of terms. We have to define what is an elder. And an elder talks about age. Actually, it's an adjective. It's not a noun. I found this interesting as I began to study. It's not a noun. An elder is not a thing. It is descriptive of the word that is left out. Elder person. Elder man. Elder woman. Elder Christian. But we use it as a noun. It's an adjective that's used as a noun. But in the Scriptures, the Greek word presbyteros, forgive me for butchering any of this, is translated and is used to describe elders of two people. In that sense, Vera is my elder. In fact, with all of us here, she's our elder. She's older than us, so she's an elder. I'm Brian's elder. I'm older than him. So the older person between two people is the elder of the two. Okay? It's used in that sense in the Scripture. It's talked about advanced in life, someone who's an elder or a senior in life, which we all may be in a group of elders. I'm moving towards that direction. I don't see myself quite there yet, but I'm moving that way. I think Brian has jumped ahead of me. Even though he's younger, he's over in the elder section. But it's advanced in life, elder, a senior. So it's used in that way in the Scriptures. The Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. It's talking about not an elder in the church, as in the office of an elder responsible for church leadership, but just an older person. Don't be quick to going around rebuking people that are older than you. Have some respect. Treat them with dignity. Even if they're wrong, there's a right and a wrong way about correcting someone who's older than you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2. Elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. The word elder in both of these verses is the same word as translated the elder as responsible for the congregation. It also has to do with our forefathers, our elders. We don't talk a lot about that nowadays. We're all in the now. We're all, you know, it's all about me and it's all about where I am in life. And, you know, I got here all by myself. Nobody helped me. No, we're all standing on the shoulders of others. How do you know what berry you can eat and what you can't eat? It's because other people have died finding out. Amen? How do you know how to preserve food and that won't kill you when you eat it and get poisoned? Because other people have died finding out. We all stand in all aspects of life on the shoulders of people who have gone before us. And we need to be appreciative of our forefathers. It also refers to a term of rank or office. Among the Jews referred to their leaders and those who are older in the community and would sit at the gate and give their wisdom and pronounce judgment on things. They were elders. And then also among Christians, those who preside over the assemblies or churches. The New Testament uses the term bishops and elders interchangeably, which we'll see here in a few minutes. So that is the adjective form of that. Let me just give you a few scriptures concerning the use of elder, referring to those who are in leadership in the local church. Acts 14:23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Acts 20:17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, this is Paul, and he called the elders of the church. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Titus 1:5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. And James 5:14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Well, I didn't say, why don't you call for the pastor? He's the head. He's closer to God. He's more in touch with God. He's got stronger anointing. Why not pray? It's because the pastor may or may not be a part of that congregation on a regular daily basis, but the elders are. Okay, next slide. So that was elders as an adjective, although it's used as a noun. But remember, it's always referring to an older person. Now, in older doesn't necessarily mean older as in age. When we see, particularly in the church, elder just means mature or spiritually mature. You can have a young man who's an elder presiding over an older man who does not have the same spiritual maturity. Paul told Timothy, let no man despise your youth. So being young, in order to be an elder in the church, you don't have to be an old man. You don't have to be my age. You can be Jason's age. You can be Michael's age. Or perhaps even younger. Okay, but this is the noun, and it's a compound word which is talking about, let me read the scripture. Peter's speaking in 1 Peter 5:1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Peter's talking to elders, and he said, I'm also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. But when he said also an elder, it is a compound Greek word there, which means a fellow elder or a with elder. Which is a very interesting thing, and that is all elders are fellow elders. If you are coming on board as an elder, if you're being appointed or ordained as an elder, you have to realize you are not being appointed to a position that is on your own. You're joining with a body of elders, which we'll get to in a minute. You're a with elder. You're with them. You're part of the team. And you have to see yourself as such. You got to leave your ego and agenda at the door. You come in to be a part of what God's doing through the eldership team. So a with elder. Next slide. This is the presbytery. Now what we're doing, we're taking all forms of the word, Greek word, which is translated elder, all forms of that, and looking at it. We don't want to overlook anything. We don't want to look at just the noun and miss something because of what the verb says about it. We don't want to miss something with other compound words. So we're looking at everything that has this Greek word as part of its root. So the presbytery, and there is a scripture here, neglect not, Paul's writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. What is the presbytery? I know one church that was believed that they were doing a good job, and I'm not against what they did. I just don't like things being incorrectly named. they had a, after you went through an orientation with the church and were fully on board with the vision of the church and everything, they had a meeting called the presbytery, and that's when they got together and laid hands on you and asked God to speak prophetically over your life. Fully on board with any of that, but they called that gathering, that meeting, the presbytery. And so they would say to one another, "Are you ready for your presbytery?" And that's all the understanding they had. Actually, the presbytery is just the body of the elders getting together. They don't have to be laying hands on anybody at that point. It's just the body of elders together. They gather together for one purpose or another. They could be eating crabs at Joe's Crab Shack. And if they were all together, they are the body of elders there. And they say, "Oh, the presbytery is eating crabs over there." So that's what the word presbytery means, is the gathering together of the elders. And remember, since you're a with elder, you're going to find yourself being with elders, or you should, on a fairly frequent basis. Okay, next slide. We've moved over to bishop now. And remember, the words elder and bishop are used interchangeably. I'll prove that to you in a minute. But I just want to show you what the word bishop means. What does the word elder mean? What is it inferring? It's
wisdom.
Maturity. Okay? So, when a person is referred to as an elder, the word elder is showing that they have spiritual maturity enough to not only be responsible for their own lives, but the lives of others. So bishop, again, used interchangeably for the same person, which I'll show you in a minute. But the meaning of that word, it's interesting. If you go back one slide, Michael. The root word on all these words to do with elders, what could you see in that? Presbyterian. Yeah, exactly. And look at the next slide when we're talking about bishops. What can you see?
Episcopalian.
There's a reason for those things. But anyway, the Greek word episkopos for bishops means an overseer. Or a man charged, and this is a noun, a man charged with the duty of seeing that things are done correctly. Let me go back. Sorry, I think I pulled an Eric and shuffled my notes before I should have. I can say that. He's not here. An overseer, a man charged with the duty of seeing that things to be done by others are done correctly. Paul and Timotheus, Philippians 1:1, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Okay, Paul's saying he's where he is, and he's saying with the bishops and deacons. Why didn't he say, I'm with Pastor Joe? You know, that's what we would have said here. You know, I'm over here at such and such church, and I'm with Pastor Joe. And if we would have written, I'm with the bishops and the deacons, or the elders and the deacons, we would have thought, is Pastor Joe too busy to see him? Is his visit not worthy of Pastor Joe's attention? 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a true saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. 1 Timothy 3:2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. 1 Peter 2:25, for ye were sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls, which is referring to Jesus as the overseer of our souls. Then Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock of God, over which He, the Holy Ghost, hath made you overseers. That word overseers is translated in other places as bishops. Okay, next slide. What does a bishop do? A deacon deacons and a bishop bishops. Okay, next slide. No, I think the previous one was right. Sorry. He oversees. It means to oversee. The verb form of that word means to oversee, or to inspect, to look after, to care for. Feed the flock of God which is among you by taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, Peter says to the elders that he's speaking to. He's saying, take the oversight of them. Give oversight. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And that is showing oversight also, looking diligently. All right, next slide. This is the office of a bishop. We talked about the bishop, what a bishop does, he oversees. And then the office of a bishop is another Greek word, and it's the office of someone who oversees, inspects, investigates, and conducts investigation. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 20, remember when the position of Judas was being fulfilled. They quoted a passage of Scripture from Psalms. It says, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and let his bishopric," or his office of a bishop or an overseer, "let another take." And in 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. Is somebody's pacemaker going off? Okay, so we have the office. All right, now, next slide. We're getting close to the end here. Yeah. No, go forward. Okay. Now we see, I said before, that the office... Here's 5 points that we're going to review. Two of them we're going to review today, and the last three we'll leave to another time. Elder and bishop are two different titles for the same person or job. Elder describes the level of the spiritual maturity of that person, and bishop describes the work or responsibility that he performs. Now, how do we know that these two words describe the same person? I'm going to show you about 4 scriptures here, and then we're almost done. Acts chapter 20, I think I... Okay, sorry. Titus chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. For this cause, Paul is writing to Titus, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst settest in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." What did he tell Titus to ordain?
Elders.
"If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly." Again, he's saying ordain elders. This is the qualifications I want you to look for. In verse 7, he says, "For a bishop must be blameless as the stewards of God." He is talking about an office of elder, and then he uses interchangeably the word bishop. So what Paul is saying is, this person, this spiritual mature person, is going to be overseeing people. And because he's overseeing people, he must be blameless. Okay, once again, an elder describes the level of spiritual maturity. A bishop describes the work, our responsibility. Number two point. Elders or bishops, and from now forward, I'm not going to use the word bishop. We could. It's just as scriptural. I'm going to use the word elder because I believe elder is used more frequently in the scripture, and it doesn't have a connotation of somebody who supersedes pastors and everybody and is over everybody. We're reaching down to a word, elders, which is means lower than it should, but I'd rather do that and bring that meaning up than constantly try to bring the other meaning down. But elders are responsible for the everyday care of the congregation. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, we read this earlier, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. So this is Paul. He's from Miletus. He sent messengers to Ephesus, and he asked for the elders of the church to be gathered together for when he got there. Who did he call together? Elders. Okay, skip down to verse 28. You can read through this, make sure nothing got missed. But he's speaking to that same group of people, which were called elders. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. That word overseers is the same word translated bishop. So we see in talking about the same group of people, he called them elders, and he said that you're going to oversee, or God had made you overseers, God had made you bishops, to feed the church of God. And guess what? That word feed is the same word as translated shepherd other places. So we see these three different responsibilities associated with this one group of people. They're called elders. They are given responsibility to oversee, which includes shepherding the people. So who has the day-to-day responsibility for shepherding the church? One guy or a group of men? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. We've already read this, but let's go back through it one more time and pick out the things that we see the same thing again. The elders which are among you. So who's he talking to? Come on, guys, help me out. He's talking to the elders. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He's talking to the elders, and then he gives his command to feed the flock of God. That word feed, guess what? It's the same word that is translated shepherd or pastor. Feed the flock of God which is among you by taking the oversight thereof. The word oversight, again, means is translated in other places as bishop. So once again, in a passage of Scripture, we see elders being spoken to, taught and told to oversee, or to bishop, and to shepherd or to pastor a group of people. Now, I believe that the shepherding or pastoring that is done by the elders is the day-to-day caring for the sheep, the answering the questions, the looking out, how are they doing? They look a little bit down this week. They look like something's not quite right. I may need to pay a visit. I may need to ask them, what's going on? That shepherding responsibility is being done scripturally by a group of men called the elders. So the next three, the elders are appointed by an apostle or member of the apostolic team. Elders work together as a team, and elders know the congregation members and are known of them. We'll talk about those and more next time. To end this part today, the macro level vision, macro is high level, big scope. The macro level vision, guidance, and wisdom, insight, experience, anointing, spiritual impartation, and connection to the wider body of Christ is given to the local church and provided to the local church by the fivefold ministry gifts. The micro are the zeroed in or and focused in at a more cellular level, at a closer up level. The micro are day-to-day level, leading, guiding, governing, feeding, and protecting the members of that same local body who were getting the benefit of the fivefold ministry, is performed by the elders. The elders are appointed men who work together as a team to provide day-to-day and consistent spiritual leadership, guidance, and care to the members of a local body. What many people incorrectly believe to be the responsibility of a single point figure, an authority figure called a pastor, should biblically be the responsibility of a team of leaders called elders. We're going to end here today. So what have we accomplished today? We have not just identified the fact that although a pastor is a gift and is very important and is given to the church just as the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and teacher, they are important for the growth of the body. They, according to Scripture, are not the ones who have sole authority over the spiritual life of a church. That is given instead to a group of men called elders, those elders may have in residence one of the fivefold ministry gifts. Peter said, we know he's an apostle. He also said, I also am an elder. So he was saying, I have, as well as being an apostle, I have responsibility in a local body as an elder. But not all apostles do. We don't see that Apostle Paul had that. We don't see others. We see Peter did. We believe that. We acknowledge it and receive it. A teacher may be a teacher to the body, but he also may, in a fivefold ministry gift, but he also may be an elder who is serving and watching out for the day-to-day lives of the congregation. But he may not. Elders may or may not have, in addition to being responsible for the day-to-day care of the people, they may or may not have additional responsibilities as fivefold ministries. Usually, if you're going to be involved in a local church as an elder, you're not going to be doing a tremendous amount of traveling, because how can you watch for the souls of people if you're not seeing them and being face-to-face? But that responsibility of doing that has been given to a group of men called elders. We'll find out more about their responsibilities next time. We'll talk about the congregation's responsibilities to the elders. I think this is supposedly Pastor Appreciation Month. Here's the sad part about having a wrong view. When do we appreciate elders? Where's the Apostle Appreciation Month? Where's the Prophet Appreciation Month? Where's the Teacher Appreciation Month? Where have we ever been trained to call somebody as a matter of respect? Morning, Pastor. Do we do that? Morning, Prophet. Not in most places. Because we have a wrong view and we're not fully seeing the variety of giftings, the diversity of giftings, we're not appreciating them. They don't have room to move. Most places, they don't have any room. They're completely stifled. We need to learn how to relearn how to show our love and appreciation for an office and a gift that is other than pastor.
Are we anti-pastor? No, we are not. We're not anti any of God's gifts. We just want them to be in their correct place. And we want them to, we want room for the rest of God's gifts and those men who are appointed to have room to operate and be received and loved and appreciated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this Word. We thank You for what You're teaching us, Lord. I thank You that it does have relevance. It does have meaning. And for a church that is to do things Your way and reach the ends of the earth with such a huge vision, we need all the weapons in Your armory. Lord, help us to have a clearer understanding and grow in our understanding. Help us, Lord, to appreciate all that You've given us. To not push down one and exalt another, but to be appreciative of them all. In Jesus' name, amen.